You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
All right, hosers. I'm back. And so's Charge.
Look-a-coo-coo, look-a-coo! Look-a-coo-coo, look-a-coo!
Okay. Good day.
Good day, hosers. Charge, you're going to want to hear... You're going to want to hear why I had to take a load management day yesterday.
Okay, everyone. That's a good one right here.
Can I offer... Can I offer to manage your loads?
that's quite dirty, if you interpret it that way.
So
yesterday, I've been clearing some brush from parts of my 10-acre property, way too much land, but there's some areas around the Target golf green, which is not an actual green. You can't putt on it. It's just a Target green. Looks good from a distance, but there's some areas around it, including one area around the corner of the tree line in view of my living room that I had used as a dumping spot for debris.
Gotcha.
You know, a couple of old Christmas trees were in there. Some other cut up branches were in there. Pile of rocks were in there. And something in me, Charge, got to saying, damn it, this is slacking off. This is unacceptable. Now, mind you, there's still several acres of wild area that I could, if I wanted to, get in and attack all the vines and the brambles and the stray trees that are growing up out of nowhere. But I don't choose to do that. I just wanted to reclaim a certain area. All right? So I've been really, really into it, right? So I've got a bunch of this area cleared out, but I had this brush pile that had to be dealt with. Problem. I don't own a wood chipper. I ain't buying a wood chipper.
Well, no, of course not.
I ain't renting a wood chipper either. Okay.
Why not? Why can't you rent a wood chipper?
You can, but they're not cheap, and they have to tow them in on a tow hitch. I don't have a truck like you do. Getting it down to the area would be problematic. Then I've got to return it. Bah.
Well, and what do you do with the chips? What are you going to do?
Well, I would spread them around.
Would
spread them around this area. I know. So anyway, so I've just been very motivated to get rid of this. Like, you get a project, you kind of get, it's like a dog with a bone. You got to do it. Got to get rid of it. Like, I got to clear it. And I got to clear all the stuff before the grass really starts growing, because then I'll be too busy cutting the grass every single week. That'll take 3 hours plus every single week, okay? So I got to get this project done. So, pile of, you know, brush, and I'm like, I could probably just burn this and it'd be fine. I even asked my neighbor friend, Farmer John.
Oh,
Farmer John. Yeah. That's his real name, Farmer John, just like the sausage company.
And he should know. John. If he's a farmer, he should know what you can and can't burn.
Well, that's exactly right. So he brought his tractor over because I got my new Skag Turf Tiger 2 stuck in the mud where it was wet back. And I was like, God damn it, I did it again. Only that would have saved me because it was really bogged down. And so while he was there, I said, hey, neighbor, what do you think about this brush pile? Do you ever burn brush piles? He's like, oh, yeah, all the time, because he's a farmer, right? That's what they do.
Yeah,
right. And I said, do you think that'd be okay to burn it there? Because it's kind of up against a hillside, and I wasn't wild about it, but I didn't have the energy to try to drag it out somewhere in the clear, nor the equipment to do so. And he says to me, and I quote, sure, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, you could spend the night in jail.
I suppose, yeah.
It's not a probable outcome, but there could be a fine. Significant fine.
Could be a sizable fine. So anyway, I decide, all right, I'm going to get a Home Depot bucket. I've got this drainage creek that is literally just steps from the brush pile with ample water. And I'm just going to light one corner of it and just kind of let it do a slow burn.
Not in the plastic barrel or the plastic.
No. No, I was like, let me light one edge of the brush pile.
Oh, boy.
And let it.
I can see. I'm confident I know where this is going. And what a great story this is going to be.
So me being stupidly unaware of just the combustibility of brush piled in a large mass and not remembering there were two Christmas trees from Christmases of yore in there. Might as well have been nitroglycerin. I quickly fucked around and found out. And it was like, I mean, it was 0 to 25 foot flames.
Wow. 25 foot flames.
Yeah. Did I measure? I don't know. They were a lot
taller. Two stories?
Yeah, 15 foot. It's called that. It was for a brief hot minute or two. It was quite the inferno, right?
Now, did you have at any point concern that it would spread outside of the boundaries of this, that you were going to start like a massive wildfire?
Concern? Oh, I didn't have any concern. I had actual stray hotspots I had to take care of.
And now you've got your drainage creek right there. Or do you start? Okay. Do you get out the bucket from Home Depot and you're splashing water around?
Oh yeah. Don't tell this to my wife, by the way. So, because I told her it was just a small controlled burn, it was no big deal, and I didn't even call the fire department to get it, you know, approved or registered, because you're supposed to tell them, because they don't want to be called out if you're just burning brush.
Right.
Because that's a false alarm. It wastes their time, you know?
Correct.
Anyway, so sure enough, you know, shortly into this sudden inferno, I see up the hillside a hotspot that had caught on fire. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And so grab that bucket, sploosh, and I tear up the hillside, which, by the way, there's no clear path. It's all brambles and vines and prickly bushes and trees and fallen logs. It's fucking crazy. Go up there, Throw it on there. Okay, it's out. Great. I come clambering back down. Another one pops up. It was at least three or four of these, right? And I'm increasingly going, what the fuck have you done? Oh, my God. 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 And not only that, but as I'm clambering up through all this thicket of shit to throw up, put out these hotspots, I almost slipped once because there was a rock that that tilted on one of the ridges of sort of the hillside, right? Mm-hmm. And I almost bit it. And I was like, oh my God, I could have fallen down, fractured my ankle,
been unable consumed to, in flame.
Sure could have. Fucking wow. Stupid. So several of those hot spots, and you know, I'm probably over dramatizing it, but it got my heart rate going at least 250 beats per minute because I'm like, what the fuck, you know.
So how do the hot spots run non-contiguous to the original fire? I mean, how is it that the hot spot is? It sounds like the way I'm imagining it, like 20 yards away.
Yeah,
as you're going up this hill. Yeah. How does that start on fire and not a
the heat of it all, obviously, it was too close to the hillside to really safely burn. And I didn't have if I had just had a super soaker would be all I need. And if I had positioned myself sort of up the hillside, I could have taken care of it, right? And truth be told, these hotspots they probably would have burned out because they were not, you know, they were not near a large pile of material.
Right. Dry wood. Yes.
Probably. But we don't know. And I didn't care to get a visit from anybody or have to call the fire department. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I lit the hillside on fire. Can you come put it out for me? And they're like, yes, sir. You shouldn't be doing this. So, you know, everything calms down. Four or five trips up there. Heart rate back down under 200 beats per minute. I guess. I didn't have my watch on at the time. But I wish I did have my Apple Watch. I would have seen just where I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
there.
It's
your best workout of the year right there.
Right. And so now I'm managing the rest of the controlled burn, and I hear this crack, and then thump. I look up, and a 2 foot long chunk of tree, the thickness of at least a football, comes crashing down, burning hot embers out of the sky, and lights a new hotspot. And I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? And lo and behold, the heat obviously had done enough to sort of singe this one chunk of a dead tree that was up the hillside. And I got the bucket again, clambered up, and I threw it on there, put it out. And I'm like, okay, all right, all right. And I finally, that was it. That was the last of it. And then, you know, 5 hours later, after I spent, you know, all those hours raking, pitchforking, clearing, cutting down, you know, just constantly pulling what was left of the brush onto the pile and everything else, shit, not only was I exhausted, but I probably had smoke inhalation, and I had not yet done the podcast. And the title game's about to begin, and I'm like, fuck it, I cannot do a decent podcast tonight. Just can't.
Only we had drone footage of this.
No, I'd be in jail for that.
Oh, it would have been beautiful.
No, I'd be in jail for that. Definitely not. So,
and nobody called at no point did any of your neighbors, a couple of my neighbors call the fire department.
No, because, you know, people burn brush all the time. A couple of neighbors did text my wife, like, hey, we see smoke coming out from, you know, down your property. Is everything okay there? And hadn't cleared it with the wife either. But, you know, I literally thought it would be a 1 hour thing. Like, boom, just light it.
Almost.
Away you go. Almost. So, yeah. So, lesson for next time is there is no next time. Like, literally none. There could be the teeniest pile of brush in the middle of my 10 acres. I'm not going to burn it.
No, probably not worth it. But you got a great story out of it. And we'll see how committed to this you are on December 26th.
Because why?
Because then you got to throw away the tree.
Oh,
you're going to be all right. So are you, at that point, you know, are you starting a new pile or not? Because it's a lot easier to just throw it out back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want shit piling up in my yard. I already had one brush pile that stupidly I started within direct eyesight of the back porch. Mm-hmm. And sure mm-hmm. enough, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it got time for my daughter's birthday party, and some people were coming over, and my wife was like, is there anything we can do about that brush pile? And I'm thinking, yeah, I could probably chop it up. That's so, let's see, let me count. That's about 28 hours of man hours of labor of mine. Sweaty, itchy, bug infested, awful work. Or I can pay somebody. And so I paid a guy $800.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, look, it was
not trivial.
Right, exactly. So I can't be letting these brush piles, you know, accumulate. I'm going to have to, I guess, either buy a wood chipper or really cut up my brush or maybe go back to not giving a shit. Not sure which.
Are people who have related... Are 100% of people who compost weirdos?
I'd say the Venn diagram between weirdos and composters shows very little difference. I would say it's as small a sliver as the outline of the sun yesterday in the path of totality. I want to keep using that phrase because it's the first time I'd heard it all year with the eclipse. It's such a great phrase. It sounds so intimidating. The path of
epic.
Totality.
Yes. Did you see what happened on Mexican television with the path of totality?
Oh, my God.
Obviously, you did.
First of all, I saw the meme going around, and I laughed my ass off and rewatched it five times at least. Just saying, okay, see, honey, the guys would have found this hilarious. See, that's not the eclipse. That's a guy's nutsack. And look at those disgusting little straggly hairs down there. See that? It's his nuts.
it's on the news.
And then, okay, so that just went around the internet. And then a Mexican news station played the clip.
They played it.
That was unbelievable.
How did they get duped into that?
You know what? People are screamingly stupid all around. They're just stupid all around. And I've got several stupid eclipse things. But before we get to the eclipse, let's deal with the championship game in college basketball. UConn beats Purdue, beats them handily. They win again for double digits. They went two straight years in the tournament. Double digits, double digits, double digits, double digits, double digits. Six, 12 in a row, double digits, en route to two championships. There hasn't been a run quite like that almost ever, I don't think.
And it's not getting, it feels underreported, and maybe because all the attention was on the women's side.
Well, the numbers came out today. The women did an insane rating of 18.7. The men's rating
is insane.
The men's rating came in at 14 and change.
Wow.
First time ever. Less. I mean, the women are going to be peacocking, and yeah. Of course, it's a Caitlin Clark thing. The other women's games draw half of what that 18 is, but the 9 is still a robust number, or the 7, 8, or 9 that they get.
It is. And you know, when Paige Beckers comes back next year, and she might be every bit as big a draw as Caitlin Clark.
Nobody will be. Nobody can be as big of a draw. Caitlin Clark was a singular sensation.
Probably. I mean, who else leads college basketball in points and assists? I mean, you know, it's Gretzky-like, her level of domination. But, you know, Paige Beckers is the second best person in basketball, and she will come back and be even better.
I know. She was really good before her knee injury. But then again, UConn produces great player after great player after great player because they get all the All-Americans.
Yeah.
I think, okay, here's my theory, about my unified theory on why Caitlin Clark was such a phenomenon. One, she brings the eyeballs by shooting it from so deep and making it look so effortlessly. That is freakish for a women's player, number one. Number two, the story keeps the eyeballs there because she's the Iowa girl playing for Iowa, the little underdog program that could.
And shunned by UConn.
Oh, yeah. Those salty bitches, they need to check themselves. And I'll call them that. because that's what they are. People roasted all the UConn players, saying, well, she needs a championship to validate being one of the best ever. And it's like, woman, shut your face. You like Brianna Stewart's like, well, you know, because she won four, right? She went four for four because she had four other All-Americans on her team. You that put helps. You put Caitlin Clark on UConn. It's literally unfair.
Oh, I'd say, the domination would have been absurd.
I'd say they would go undefeated, but then again, Dawn Staley's South Carolina team went undefeated. So going undefeated in women's college basketball has been done a bunch of times. Because still, the landscape is not as spread out as the men's game. The talent That's is still right. concentrated in four or five places. But look, great week for women's basketball. I liked the men's final. I went to bed at halftime because of the aggressive and shameless 9:20 Eastern start.
Absurd.
And the aggressive and shameless 20-minute halftime show, which is double the average length of halftimes in college hoops.
I hate both of those. And I'm in the Midwest, so it's an hour easier for me. I fall asleep at halftime as well. And it's just, why? I don't understand what gets harmed by having an 8:30 Eastern start time. The Pacific Coast at 6:30, they're all home from work, right? They're back. They got TVs in front of them. Why does it have to be so late? Is it because they just want to sell ad time in the run-up to the game, which is more valuable than after the game?
It's my understanding that it's essentially gaming the Nielsen system to garner a peak rating that you sell off of. So they don't care about the whole rating. They know they're going to bleed off the East Coast in the final hour. They just want the peak rating where they hold it as late as they can to scoop in the West Coast for the first hour, plus the East Coast before 10 p.m. And then, of course, the Midwest is the sweet spot. So, yeah, it's bullshit. Remember when Monday Night Football used to be a 9 Eastern start?
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, and they finally said, okay, this is crazy. The latest start now, I believe, is 8:15, I want to say.
Yeah, 8:20, something like that, yeah.
Yep. Even the college football championship doesn't start after 9 on the East. I think it starts at 8:30, 8:45, because football games run longer. So
yeah, and I don't understand why the NFL hasn't done this. They should have basically a 7 o'clock Eastern game and then like an 8 o'clock Pacific game, you know, like spread out by, you know, they're spread out by like 4 hours.
Right.
Or 3 hours, but they should have two on Monday night. And I'm surprised they haven't gone to that, because they could effectively double their national audience by doing that.
Time for a quick break to hear from our amazing podcast sponsors. But if you would like, you can subscribe to the Zabecast for a mere $5 a month. Has never been more, will never be more. If you subscribe, you get Fridays with OG Scott and Solly from the Fox Sports Radio days, and you get ad-free during the week. Hallelujah. Plus, you get the pods as soon as they drop, often the night or afternoon before. Just go to zabe.com/premium to sign up. And when you do, make sure to download exclusively from the subscriber feed so you get these pods ad-free. Thank you. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. In other college basketball news, John Calipari, since I last talked on this podcast, bolted for Arkansas. And of course, Arkansas. His media buddies like Seth Greenberg on ESPN spun it this way. He said, he's not running away from Arkansas. He's running toward, or he's not leaving Kentucky. He's going toward Arkansas.
Okay.
And people were like, yeah, I'm not leaving my wife. I'm just going toward Babs, my secretary. It's like, shut the fuck up. Coaches will always defend coaches. Coach Calipari is grossly underachieved with the talent that he has been able to get to go to Kentucky.
Classically.
Now, he'll probably do the same thing at Arkansas. Now, the reason he's at Arkansas is John Tyson is the heir to the Tyson Foods empire.
Oh, that's done. He's done okay for himself.
By being born, by being in the Lucky Sperm Club. He didn't build Tyson Foods from one chicken barn like his great grandfather from one egg. He was just born into it, and they're like, all right, here's how the company runs. We supply 2/3 of the chicken to all of America. Don't fuck it up. So he's a big Calipari guy, and he was like, all right, we can bring in here. We can pay a shit ton of money. Calipari knew that his time was up at Kentucky. They hated him there. They're ready to run him out. Kentucky doesn't have to pay the buyout, so that's a win for them. Calipari gets to leave with some shred of dignity, win for him. And Arkansas gets a coach after they lose Musselman to USC. That's a win for them. It's a rare win-win-win.
I suppose. Is Arkansas a... You know, Arkansas was a
Nolan Richardson
basketball destination back then, but that's 20 years ago.
I know. Well, they're desperate to get back there, and they got the money. Because what is in Arkansas? Two big things in this country, chicken and Walmart. The Waltons, the Walton family, which started Walmart, Arkansas. Yeah. So I would say that those two companies are probably the most important companies for the average American, not the upper class American, right? Not like Apple or Google, but good old America, you know, apostrophe America, chicken and Walmart. That's what I need.
That works.
Yeah, it works. Right.
Yes.
Now, more importantly, you being a dog owner, how are your dogs, by the way?
Scraps and Pepper are, Scraps is under the weather because he decided that yesterday. He was going to have a diet that was mostly rabbit poop found in the yard.
Oh,
and then he hit the jackpot and he found some entrails in the back corner of the yard.
Oh,
and
my God.
We don't know what animal, you know, what happened there. We think that a rabbit was found its end right there. And we're fenced in, but it's not it's not like a wooden fence. It's the metal kind with bars and stuff. So you can get through it. So he found entrails and then feasted on that. And then funny, the next day he's sick. So,
Shocker.
You know, now we're on barf alert, waiting for Scraps to throw it all up in the house.
Oh, on your beautiful carpeting in the basement, which is so soft and plush. I love it.
Luxurious. I still
dream of that carpeting. All right. So here's the dog question. What the fuck was Calipari doing walking, quotes his dog, in a stroller? Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No. I've heard of this instance.
Oh,
I have not heard
Google
of
it. Mr. Hands
I'm going
Free.
To right now.
And you can see it. Calipari was walking his dog in a stroller when he was spotted by a news crew on the very day that he had, you know, it had been announced he's leaving Kentucky. And a lot of people thought he did it on purpose just to attract attention. Now,
probably.
I have heard of somebody walking their bulldog which are a very finicky breed, very prone to getting overheated, and they have bad hip problems. They don't live very long. I've heard of that, but isn't the point of walking your dog to get the dog some exercise and to let it sniff all the sniffs out there? There is a great
yes. There is that is the point, because you need your dog to burn off the energy. Trust me, I've been there.
And the mental energy too.
You need that.
There was a meme I saw which showed a dog sniffing something, and it said, "Don't interrupt me. This is my scrolling time."
He is scrolling. So he's got one hand on the stroller, one hand he's scrolling through what I assume is social media, Twitter, or something.
What are they saying about me?
He's got one in each hand. I can't talk right now. I'm walking my dog. Does it count as walking the dog if the dog's not walking?
I don't think so.
That's weird. Now, is the dog missing a leg or two?
Possibly. But again, you need to retrofit it with a special device or a wheel or a harness to allow it to run around on three legs. Dogs need exercise, and they got to burn off energy.
Wouldn't that be better? Okay, no, wait. As this video goes along, you do hit the dog. So it's even weirder. The dog is not in the stroller, or at least not for part of it. The dog's walking beside the stroller, and he's pushing an empty stroller.
Well, maybe the dog can only walk part of the walk.
I've seen that.
Instead of just taking him around the block once or down the street and back, he's like, well, I'll take you further because I want to get a walk in, but I'll bring a stroller when you get tired, Schmoopy. And I don't know. Anyway, good luck to Coach Cal at Arkansas. Let's go to the eclipse. What are your general thoughts on Eclipsomania 2024?
It's so boring. I've been around long enough to live through a couple of eclipses. It's interesting for 60 seconds. I have a friend in my friend circle. They're traveling, 500 miles.
Yeah,
to get into the circle, and then it turned out weather was bad. They had to go another 300 miles. To which I'm like, at some point, don't you just cut your losses on this thing? Go, you know what? For 60 seconds of something interesting, it's not worth it.
I'm convinced that the amount of miles driven is not a bug; it's a feature. As they say in software and computing, it's to be able to brag how far you drove proves your eclipse bona fides or bona fides. I don't know how you pronounce it, but you get my point. That's part of the being able to flex on it. Because what person would drive all that far, see the eclipse, and then go, wasn't that good? You're going to come back and rave about it. I got a buddy who's retired. He's on my golf trip. I love him to death. Bob Miller. Shout out Bobby B. Bobby M. And he drove to Indiana with his kids. And I was giving him all kinds of shit. And then it happened. He's like, oh, it's so amazing. Brought me to tears.
What?
Yeah.
No, come on.
I'm like, of course.
Nobody goes to tears over it.
He did. Because he's not going to go all the way to Indiana and then say, it was okay. People that go, they want to talk about how great it is. And I'm sure it's cool when you're in it. And guess what? If I ever get caught under one where I don't have to drive more than 20 minutes would be my max.
Yeah.
Then I'll go outside and I'll check it out. But the whole thing about I'm going to get pictures, I'm going to get the stupid glasses, fuck all that. Yeah. I've seen more great eclipse assets on social media from professionals with all the best equipment. I've seen airplane videos of what it looks like if you're flying across the country during the eclipse. I've seen space videos. Red Bull just put out this sick photo of two of their planes flying 4 feet apart right underneath
between
the eclipse.
It?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, of course they're going to do better than you. So I'm just not somebody that drives. But the funny thing is, it brought out the stupid. It brought out the stupid in a lot of people. Let's start with Sonny Hostin of The View. You ever watch this Yenta Fest known as The View?
Hell no. Of course I don't watch The View.
Right. Well, no. But millions of people do.
Even if I did, I would never admit it.
Millions of people do. And sadly, our politicians go on the show to court the very votes of the dipstick women who watch it and just lap it up. So here's Sonny Hostin with a theory. A theory about, eclipses and earthquakes and cicadas. She's going to tie it all up neatly. Take a listen.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
First of all, can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
Yeah, what do you think she's going to predict?
It's the fault of global warming or climate change. She's going to blame the eclipse on climate change is where I think she's going to go. All right,
let's see
if it plays out that way.
Charge right.
That
let's
would
take
be
a
so moronic.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got
the
earthquake.
She
ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas. Although I love for the first time in
cicada,
like
cicada.
No. This is what I read. Two different times.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
These ladies are all over the place. They're glancing at basic facts of this. You know, that's not what I read, she said. Just a dipshit.
Oh, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
I would say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists or something is
really going on. There we go.
Bing, bing, bing. It's underground. No. It happens. And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
How aggressively stupid do you have to be to assert that with a straight face?
And how do you must know with confidence that you're not even going to get challenged on it, but to say something that moronic, that you have to feel confident that because you're on the right side of the debate, that nobody's going to fight you on it.
When you're getting fact checked by Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg, that is a new all-time low. Welcome to the You're Too Dumb to Reproduce Club. That said, she's kind of hot. And she's on TV, and they don't pay her for her brains. So that was one clip right there. All right. Earthquakes, cicadas. Mm. Are they the good cicadas or the bad? There's no good cicadas.
Some are inherently evil. Some are inherently good.
No, they're not. They're just fucking bugs, and they make a lot of noise. Now, there's annual cicadas that come out every year, but they don't reproduce on one-year cycles. There's just a lot of different ones spread around that have short cycles, like 2-3 years. So they overlap. So you really don't know which one's which. And then there's broods that are the 17-year variety, and there's about 5 or 6 different broods, and this year's double brood, you know, eruption is going to be mostly in the Midwest. Illinois, Missouri, southern Wisconsin are going to get hammered, according to the maps.
Have you ever been in one? Have you ever been in a cicada?
There's a cicada brood that hits the D.C. area, and we've had summers with the fucking cicadas, and they're the worst.
It's I lived through one when I lived in Memphis, Tennessee third grade. This is way, way back. And they were everywhere. You could barely walk down the street. It'd be just crunch, crunch, crunch. I mean, it was... I've never been in anything like that. The plague of locusts. It was like blot out the sun stuff, and it was weird. And I remember it, you know. Now, you know, whatever. 40 plus.
I mean,
these
are bugs that are as big as your thumb, and thank God to heavens they neither bite nor sting.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
Can you imagine if cicadas either were capable of biting you or stinging you? No one would leave the house for several months.
No, we
would have nationwide cicada eradication departments in the government.
Yeah. We'd have figured out how to kill them off.
I don't know if you can, though, because they're such large numbers. And the cycle of them is so amazing that they lay their eggs and they sit there and cook for 17 years. And they come out like clockwork. Like clockwork 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was one dumb thing. Now, luckily, Sonny Hostin is not an elected member of Congress. So she can only foist her stupidity upon the viewers of The View. If only that were the case with one Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat, Central Houston. Here was Congresswoman Jackson Lee, the honorable, but not very bright, explaining to a small group of constituents the difference between the moon and the sun. Have you seen this clip?
No, I have not.
Be prepared. You're going to want to say to yourself, this can't be real. This has to be a parody.
And there is, by the way, a really big difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Really big difference between the moon and the sun.
Here we go.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
No.
Why?
It's not.
That's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
No, we can't.
Are the gases such that we could do that?
No, it's not actually.
The gases.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat. She said it's almost impossible to go, quote, near it.
Near. Oh,
by near it, do you mean 4 million miles? Right. That kind of near?
Oh,
I think at this
reminds
point,
me.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a congressman who, like, maybe 10 years ago, when it was, he was in a committee meeting for the Defense Department, and they were talking about building a base on Guam.
Yeah.
And he asked if we built the base on Guam, if we would tilt the island and sink the island.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the good citizens of Houston keep sending Ms. Jackson Lee back to Congress every 2 years because something about her. I don't know what they like. Maybe she reminds them of their bubby. Of their grandma, and that her intentions are good. So if her loose knowledge of the facts about the moon and the sun aren't really in reality, who cares? She's going to fight for us. She's going to fight for what we want. Can we at least admit at this point, universal voting for every citizen was probably naive?
A mistake.
Probably naive.
How about getting people that have skin in the game?
Oh, with that, that's a whole nother discussion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for now, like the great writer H.L. Mencken once said, democracy is the fallacy that the people know what they want and they're going to get it good and hard. Two things that sadly are very true today. Okay, Charge, what's going on before I say goodbye to you for this weekend?
I'm thinking about going to go see Brian Regan, comedian Brian Regan.
Very
I'll have to go
funny.
Off to drive to Fargo, so he's coming close, but not exactly here.
That's a long way away. It's like going to see the Eclipse, although Brian Regan's show will last longer than 4.5 minutes.
It will be. That'll be way more enjoyable. It's 4 hours.
That's right. That's right. Nobody laughs at an Eclipse. They laugh at Brian Regan. And next visit, I'm going to tell you why Geraldo hates Larry David, and also two football metrics I had not heard before, and they're fascinating to me. But we can save that for next week, right?
Deal.
Okay. I'll talk to you, buddy. See you.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.